It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. And at the website, sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's where you get first look at all of the upcoming guests, the most recent op-eds, and our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. And in studio with me is my friend Rick Turnquist, and we are rolling out one of your fabulous op-eds again this weekend. It's already on Facebook, and it is regarding this family leave. It's great to have you here in studio.
Thanks, Kim. It's nice to be back in studio again with you.
It's been a little while.
It has been, yeah.
Who would have dreamed what has happened since the last time you were in studio?
Just amazing. You know, at the end of February, we had no idea of what was coming down the pike towards us, and it's been a pretty wild 6 months, and it's promising to get even wilder in the next 3 months.
You think? So it's great to have you in studio. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to go through some headlines in this first segment, and then Karen Levine and Lauren Levy will join us with some of the headlines that are affecting their industry, which affects you, and that will be in the second segment. And then we're going to go through this op-ed that you did, Rick Turnquist, in segments 3 and 4. One of your recent op-eds that we had, Unfit to Govern, we actually had wanted to boost that on Facebook, and we were denied. And Zach tried to talk to a person at Facebook. That's very difficult to do. They finally came back and said it was because of the bad words that were in the op-ed. The bad words were you had a picture of the Capitol, and it was the bad words that had been written on the Capitol.
Right, by these rioters, you know, is a generous term for them, and they'd written several F-bombs on the state Capitol building, which hadn't been cleaned up months later at the time the picture was taken, and you know, it's funny because the unfit to govern concept that I talked about in that piece, and I encourage everybody to read it at KimMunson.com. I talk about how Democrat-run cities and states are doing less well economically, and how the Democrat, you know, the cities that are on fire in America now are all governed by Democrat mayors, and run by Democrats, and it's just evidence that Democrats are unfit to govern. And fortunately, we have an opportunity in 3 months to fix that, and the way to fix that is to vote them out and vote Republican, to put people who believe in law and order and who believe in property rights in office to protect life, liberty, and property, which is, after all, the core legitimate function of government.
And even if people want to be so pristine, I want to vote, you know, the best person for the office, and think they have the luxury right now of saying, oh, this Democrat, this Republican, I'm going to compare them. We are past that right now. The Democrat Party has been so pulled to the left. And if somebody doesn't do what they say on the Democrat side, they are chastised by the Democrat Party. We've seen that. And so you will not see people on the Democrat Party standing up for what you just talked about, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Absolutely not. And the fact of the matter is, when Governor Polis recently called the rioters criminal terrorists, you know, he received a lot of heat from his side of the aisle, from the left. And also, you know, when he recently said that he favored the income tax decrease that's on the ballot, he received a lot of heat from his side over that as well. And let's face it, you know, I think that's intellectually inconsistent of him to be in favor, you know, to say either of those things. But you know, more power to him for being right about the rioters, because, you know, this is when you protest is a legitimate form of speech. You know, our Constitution protects the right to, you know, seek redress against government. And you know, I'm all for protesting, and I've protested myself. I've been to rallies and protests, you know, in favor of gun rights and all that kind of thing. And you know, but when it devolves into violence, when you start attacking people and property, it's no longer legitimately protected speech. It's a crime.
It is a crime.
Yep. And you know, we're seeing, you know, I'm sure that a lot of these Black Lives Matter and Antifa types are actually out there, you know, because they believe in justice for whatever. But they're also, you know, they're also committing terrorism because they're trying to use terror to force political change. And, you know, if you look at the FBI's definition of terrorism, that's what it is. So.
But it's inconsistent. You just said something very interesting it's intellectually inconsistent for Governor Polis to say, first of all, that he is in favor of this income tax decrease that's going to be on the ballot, but yet all of these other actions that they have taken and that he signed into law has actually increased the cost or the taxes or fees, whatever the word is, particularly on small businesses. And Rick, as I was driving in today, we've had this conversation, but it's become crystal clear to me now. And over all these years, I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But this is an assault on the middle class, that hardworking American that, you know, has believed in this. If I work hard and if I save and if I take care of my family, I might build something. And it started back there when Barack Obama said to Joe the plumber, "You didn't build that." That is where I realized something was not working. It's intellectually inconsistent what the Democrat Party says and what they do these days.
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at the Soviet Union, for example, you know, you had a small elite who lived in relative luxury. And even though, you know, average Americans live in more luxury than the Soviet elite did, let's face it. But you had a small elite that lived in relative luxury, and the rest of the country was dirt poor. And
so they were equal.
Right.
They were equal.
They were equally poor.
Yeah, right.
And you know, that's what they're striving towards. That's what all these terrorists, they want to tear down America, and they want Marxism. But Marxism, socialism has been proven to fail every time it's been tried. And it just blows my mind that people actually think that's a viable economic system when it clearly is not. All you have to do is read the book Socialism Sucks. I don't remember the author's names, but, you know, these two guys drink their way through several socialist countries. It's really a hoot to read. You know, there's a picture in the book, though, of North Korea and South Korea, and South Korea is all lit up, you know, lights everywhere, and, you know, it's a very prosperous, you know, mostly free country. North Korea, there's a light, there's a one dot where the capital is, and the rest of the country is dark. That's socialism, my friends, and that's a visual depiction of socialism, and that's like the capital picture in the last op-ed that Facebook wouldn't promote. That's a visual representation of what you're going to get if you vote for Democrats in November.
So with that, you may have a Republican candidate and you're like, you need to vote Republican up and down the ticket.
This is true. And let me just say, you know, I've been disappointed in Republicans many times since I've been involved in politics over the last several years. And, you know, President Nixon was a Republican and he was a terrible president. He grew government, you know, considerably, when, you know, a lot of the agencies that we hate nowadays, the EPA and federal funding for abortion, all that stuff happened under Nixon, who was a Republican. So Republicans are by no means perfect. And I hold Republicans to high standards. I really do. Mm-hmm. And the ones I support because I believe that they're mostly aligned with my values. But there is no Democrat on the ticket anywhere that is going to be more aligned with my values than the competing Republican. So that Republican may not be perfect. He or she may have, you know, dubious things, you know, in terms of their voting record or whatever. But you know what? They're going to stand up for the core principles, I believe, the core principles of America, which is limited government and the middle class and keeping a rein on taxes and stuff like that.
And then we need to engage. We need to make sure that once these people are in office, that we engage with them and do our civic duty. Steve, we have not let you get a word in edgewise. What would you like to say?
that's fine, because everything you're saying is gold. So back to your thought, though, about they're coming after the middle, working middle class. Who put Trump in office?
The working middle class. When he looks into the camera and says, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you.
Yeah.
And it is true. We can see that.
Forget who it was. One of the speakers this past week, she made a comment. I remember it was a woman. She made a comment. She said, and she made that point. And then she said, yeah, they're still calling us
deplorables.
Deplorables and ignoring the heartland.
So, well, and once again, they're with all of these shenanigans. They're talking about the mail-in vote, and they say that you want to make sure that your voice is heard. They are doing that to try to, I think, steal the election and actually tap down the voice of legitimate voters. Again, it seems that you would have people on both sides of the aisle that want to have a voter integrity. That is not the case. And once again, somebody said to me, Trump, like him or hate him, he's brought clarity to the issues. We now see all this stuff, Rick Turnquist, was percolating underneath the surface. Man, the veil is off and we see what's going on here.
One more point, if I may. It happened again Sunday night in Wisconsin. Earlier in the year, when the rioting first started, we had seen this organization in the logistics where a stack of bricks would show up on the street corner. One of the videos I watched from Wisconsin Sunday night, you can hear somebody shout out, hey, the bricks are over here. And although the video is not real good because it's dark, you can see all the scufflaws running toward the stack of bricks and loading up. So where did those bricks come from?
So let's connect one more dot. I know that you all, I've said this before, but if you go to Black Lives Matter, the website, and you click on donate, and what comes up, the clearinghouse is Act Blue. And Act Blue is the big fundraising arm of the Democrat Party.
Yep.
This is the Democrat Party. This is what you're going to get, as you said, Rick Turnquist. If they get elected, your lives are not going to be the same.
That's very true. And Act Blue is the fundraising arm of the Democratic Party. Look at any Democratic candidate and their donate button, and it goes to Act Blue. And the same is true of Black Lives Matter, which was founded by committed Marxists, which is, I'm going to read the definition of terrorism on the FBI website, domestic terrorism. And that is the unlawful use or threatened use of force or violence by a group or individual based and operating entirely within the United States or Puerto Rico without foreign direction, committed against persons or property to intimidate or coerce a government, the civilian population, or any segment thereof in furtherance of political or social objectives. So this rioting, this burning, and this property damage, and these murders. I mean, we've had several people, many of them African American, murdered in these BLM and Antifa riots. They are clearly committed to terrorism and tearing down America and putting. I don't know what they want to put in its place, but America was founded upon the principles of equality under the law. All men are created equal with natural rights endowed by their creator. And, that is the most beautiful founding concept for any nation in history. And to want to tear that down and put something else in its place based on tribalism and hatred for people who aren't like you is just unconscionable.
Well, it becomes a caste system so that you get to a point where you're not going to be able to work hard and get out of whatever group that they say that you're in, because you're now part of a group instead of that individual. And, that doesn't work out for everyday people.
Right. And on the left, they very much believe in collectivism. They don't believe in the individual. They
exactly.
Believe that the individual must be subordinate to the group or to the state. And we're exactly the opposite. We celebrate the individual, and the ultimate minority is the individual.
Exactly, and that is why in our founding documents, the Electoral College, it is put there to make sure that the minority has a voice. And it was a beautiful document. It's not perfect, but my gosh, this big, broad middle class that we've had. We once again saw it with Governor Polis regarding shutting down non-essential businesses. How is it that the big box stores were essential. But that small business person, these restaurants were shut down. It doesn't make sense to me.
And it's another example of the intellectual inconsistency on the left when they propose these new programs like family, which we'll talk about in a little while. You know, they want to tax employers to within an inch of their teeth to pay for all their government programs. But at the same time, they're putting all these restrictions on them. They're, you know, like you said, letting big boxes operate and forcing the small restaurant to close. And or, you know, if you look at these small businesses in places that are being burned down, I saw a video on Facebook of a family, you know, a man who was sobbing because his business that he built up over 40 years had been burned down by these domestic terrorists in Kenosha. And it was heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. So I tell you what, oh, we're getting the sign from Steve that, we've gone over time here. Thank you. So before we go to break, one of my great partners is one of these great little restaurants, and that is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They're open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, and curbside service. Happy hour, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. That might be something to do this afternoon. They have lunch specials every day. Wednesdays are Wings Day. All the wings you can eat and dine in for $15.99. And kids eat free, and they've got beer specials. I would highly recommend, with all the craziness going out there, maybe just to go over to Hooters Restaurants and have a beverage and one of those great hors d'oeuvres this afternoon. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Lauren Levy. He had mentioned something, a week or two ago regarding this new fee on refinance. And I want to ask him about that because there's been a new change. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Go to the website and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like. Before we get to Lauren Levy, today is a historical day here in Colorado. Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas will be rolling out their minority bus tour, the I'm a Trumpster bus tour. The bus is huge. It's big. They're going big with this. And so today, meet us at 4:30. At 401 West 43rd, and be part of the motorcade. We'd like to have at least 100 cars. We've got motorcycles that are going to be there, and we're going to make a statement because this is so important. So you want to do something? This is going to be fun, and so be sure and join us. Lauren Levy is on the line. He is one of my valued partners. He is with Polygon Financial. Polygon Financial Group, right, Lauren Levy? I've got that right.
That's correct.
Okay. Yep. Welcome to the show. And Lauren, you had mentioned, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that there was going to be this new fee instituted on people that were refinancing their mortgage. But there was some good news yesterday from what I can see here. Patty found something from Forbes magazine that they're going to...
That's right.
So what's going to happen?
The fee actually was instituted on all refinances, but it was done, as we discussed, sort of in the dark of night, and it just happened overnight, and there was a lot of uproar in the industry because typically fees like that are grandfathered in with some warning, and that's what really set off the industry. So a lot of industry groups went to Washington, D.C., and with some congressional pressure, the FHFA backed off the fee temporarily yesterday. They moved it from a September 1 implementation to a December 1. So what that means is that affords people another limited window here of probably a month and a half to 2 months of that fee not being applied, so rates staying as low as they were before the fee. So we have an extended window here before that fee kicks in.
So you're going to get even more busy because if people want to do this, if they want to refinance at these low rates, they need to get that done. Hopefully, I hope on December 1 that this will not be instituted, but certainly opportunity right now. I'd highly recommend that people reach out to you, Lorne Levy.
I agree. You know, when you listen to why they're implementing the fee for an adverse market, there is still unknown about forbearances and people who are simply unable to pay their mortgages. And so that's what they're saying the fee is just to stabilize Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which there could be something to that. But the fact that they just did it and applied it to all current loans that were already in process was not really fair. And that's the part that they backed off, which was helpful.
Okay. So are you still paying for the appraisal for people that contact you from the Kim Munson Show, correct?
That's correct. Yep. And that is a $625 fee that we're absorbing for your listeners. Yes.
Okay. So in order for people to take advantage of that right now, opportunity is knocking on the door. And when opportunity knocks, it's good to answer the door. So Lorne Levy, people can reach you at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. And don't procrastinate because opportunity is knocking, Lorne Levy.
That's correct. And you've got the number right, and I look forward to hearing from the listeners.
Okay. Thanks so much, Lorne. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Have a good weekend.
Okay. And Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, another one of my very valued partners. Karen Levine, welcome.
Good morning, Kim.
Got a question for you. This was from the Foundation for Economic Education. They did a piece this was on Kamala Harris a while back, but she is in supporting rent control. And that is a policy that most economists, 93% of economists, say is harmful. What do you think, Karen Levine?
Well, I would be in agreement with those 93% of economists. Rent control, once again, takes away people's freedoms. It takes away their ability to create wealth. And when you take away free market, it costs the middle class, which I think that's what you and Rick were talking about earlier. And, you know, we're getting hit from all sides.
We are.
And I think what's so sad is you can use San Francisco as an example that does have rent controls, of which Ms. Harris is from, and that has not bode well for that city. Oregon, a year ago, implemented rent controls statewide, and I don't know that they're in a place of prospering.
Which state did that, Karen?
Oregon.
Oh, yeah, things are good. The two places that you have mentioned, Portland is obviously in Oregon, and
yes,
San Francisco. I remember San Francisco just was a beautiful city. I went there a few times. I just loved it. And it's been about a year since I've been in the Bay Area, and it's like I couldn't wait to get out of there. And these people are destroying these cities, these states, with these policies, Karen Levine.
Well, and that's what's scary. And I think what people don't understand is that when government gets involved, the price never goes down.
You sound like Dr. Jill Vecchio. When government gets involved, the price goes up, the supply goes down, and the quality goes down as well, Karen Levine.
Exactly. And, you know, as a realtor, we fight hard for private property rights. And those who have invested in rental properties to afford people to have homes to rent, they're going to pull out of the market if it's not profitable for them. And so what they've seen and what the article addressed is that the supply goes down, and what did Jill say? The quality of the supply goes down.
Yeah, and the price goes up.
And the price goes up. So it is possible that Colorado, Denver, our suburbs will see that type of bill come forth at some point in the future. And I certainly encourage your listeners to be wary and to understand that it's really not a positive thing for their economies and their neighborhoods.
So, and Karen, you really walk the talk. You take great care of your clients. You also volunteer a lot with a lot of different things like the Golden Retriever Rescue Group. But one of the things that you're doing now is you are on the national, tell me exactly what it is, the National Board of Realtors, but you're going to be working in Washington as well to make sure that you protect private property rights.
Yes, so I've been appointed as a director of the National Association of Realtors for the top 75 brokerages nationwide. RE/MAX Alliance falls in that qualification. We are one of the top 75 brokerages nationwide, and we have a seat at the table at the National Association of Realtors. And the work that the NAR, the National Association of Realtors, is doing on behalf of homeowners is outstanding, and we have an opportunity every May to go to Washington. This year it was done virtually, but done very well, and I always look forward to those meetings because we affect good policy for middle class and for homeownership.
So, Karen Levine, if people are looking at buying or selling their home, whether or not it's existing or if it's a new build, you know, it's good to have you sitting on their side of the table. And people can reach you at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thank you so much, and we will talk to you next week.
That sounds great. Have a good weekend.
Thanks so much. And Jason McBride, speaking of having somebody sit on your side of the table, Jason McBride and his colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management are good people to have on your side of the table. Jason McBride, happy Friday.
Well, happy Friday to you too, Kim.
So what's the headline that you think we should be aware of today, Jason McBride? What's going on over in your world?
Boy, I haven't seen any earth-shattering headlines. You know, the market looks like we're going to be up again this morning. Yeah, sorry, Kim, I don't have, a big explosive thing that's happening. It looks like we had another couple of companies that had decent earnings. The markets, the futures are strong, and, it looks like we'll open stronger. And yesterday was once again a day where the NASDAQ gained almost 2%, and it just continues to try and move higher. But I don't know if I'd consider this a headline, but I think it's important to mention we're open for business, Kim. If folks want to come in and meet with an advisor, our offices are open for that. You don't have to do a Zoom meeting or an online meeting or be internet savvy or have a fast connection. We're here to meet with folks. We're here to meet with our clients. And we're here to do whatever we can to help face-to-face if that's what you would prefer. And I know a lot of people do prefer that.
Yes, certainly, particularly when they're talking about their money or their investments. So, Jason McBride, people can reach you at 303-694-1600. 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you on Monday, and just have a great weekend.
All right. Well, I'll see you this afternoon.
Oh, you're going to be there for the I'm a Trumpster?
Of course I'm going to be there.
Awesome. Oh, so do you have a flag for your car? What are you going to have?
Oh, yeah. We've got flags. We've got stickers. We've got magnets. We'll be Trumped out.
Okay. And so that is at 4:30 at 401 West 43rd. And it's going to be a great day, Jason McBride. So I'll see you later this afternoon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to go to break. And in studio with me is Rick Turnquist, and he's going to really break down this family leave thing. And I did the promo on that and said it seems compassionate to think that somebody would be able to take some family leave to take care of Aunt Tilly. But the problem is that everybody else will have to pay for that and take up the slack. So I know you're going to unpack this for us, Rick Turnquist. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, the most recent op-eds, the most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts, and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. In studio with me is my friend Rick Turnquist. He is an author, a blogger, and I think your blog is at toadvancefreedom.com. Is that right?
That's correct, Kim. Yep.
Okay. And you typically once a month do an op-ed for us, and this one is about no more family. Now, Rick, when we talk about the show, we talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Of course, there's now freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom as well. But it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. So family, this family leave ballot initiative that's going to be on the ballot this November, I know a lot of people that they think about, oh my gosh, you know, when my mom was, you know, in the last, you know, time of her life, it would have been great if I could have taken time off and been paid to take care of her. That would have been so compassionate. What say you, Rick Turnquist?
Well, Kim, thanks for having me on this morning and for publishing this piece on your blog. It's always nice to get that out there because you have such a wide readership. But, you know, I'm going to just start off with the little blurb that's under the picture here, which is excellent, by the way. Zach did a great job. And that is under the principle of self-ownership, which is intrinsic to us as human beings. We own the product of our minds and our productive labor. Using the force of government to deprive us of what we earn is immoral and wrong. Saying that your need gives you the right to my earnings and property is not only immoral, it's evil. And that's the basis of socialism, is that you're, you know, from each according to ability, to each according to their need. And that's just, you know, that's been proven with rivers of blood across decades to be a completely failed philosophy. And the proponents of the, and when we talk about family, we're not talking about, you know, our families, which whom we love. We're talking about FAMLI, paid family and medical leave insurance. And this is an idea that's been championed by State Senator Faith Winter for several years. And when, as I was writing this, I almost felt like it was Groundhog Day because I've written about it so many times before. And, there's been four bills introduced in the legislature to try to put this program in place. And then each bill failed. And this year they couldn't even agree on a bill to introduce because of the, there were some people who wanted to have a private program, which would still be, created by government force. And then others, you know, the more progressives wanted to hold out for a government-run program like the previous four bills had tried to introduce. And so they, in the end, they just didn't introduce a bill. Plus the session was cut short by COVID, which is one of the very few good things about this silly virus. So they didn't introduce a bill this year, so they decided to take it to the voters on the ballot. And when we talked about this back in January, Kim, I actually called for a vote of the people on this family concept. And I'm glad it's going to go before the voters, because hopefully we'll be able to put it behind us once and for all. You know, it's a terrible idea. It's a terrible program. This one...
But can't you see the ads? You know there's going to be a lot of money. And can't you just see the heartstring ads about taking care of that... you know, that loved one. And I mean, I can see it now.
Oh, I can see it too. And you know, they always talk about the benefits of the family program, but they never talk about the costs, and they never talk about the funding mechanism, which is a tax. And
they may call it something different though.
Well, they're calling it a premium, but that's a lie. A premium is something that you pay an insurance company in a voluntary contract to provide insurance. When government takes money by force to fund a government program, and they can call it an enterprise, and you know, I'm doing air quotes here, it's radio, but air quotes, enterprise, it's still a government program, and it's funded by money taken from people by force, and that is a tax. You can't opt out. You know, there's very limited opt-out opportunity under family, but you can't opt out of it. You have to pay it. If you're on a payroll, and if 283 passes, it's the employers who are going to be paying the tax. But then if you dig a little bit deeper into the language of the ballot initiative, you'll see that employers are going to be allowed to deduct up to 50% of the tax from employees. So this is going to be a tax on both employers and employees.
And these are people that have just gotten kicked around and knocked around during this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption.
And when, you know, when they, I think when they're thinking about businesses, they're thinking about Amazons and Googles and huge, humongous corporations that, yeah, of course they can afford another 1%, you know, payroll tax. But no, that the vast majority of businesses are small businesses, and they're owned by, you know, people who have gone out and they've taken risks. They've put their own capital at risk. They've put their homes, you know, they've mortgaged their homes to put at risk to open these businesses to provide products and services to customers, to willing customers.
And hopefully that they will create wealth for themselves
exactly.
In doing so.
And they've been, you know, they've been kicked around by the, you know, the legislature puts always more restrictions and regulations on businesses. They see business, and I've put this on Twitter so many times. They see business as a pot of gold to fund their progressive agenda, and you know, with the Wuhan flu and everything else that's been hitting small businesses in Colorado this year. I mean, I know lots of restaurants have closed their doors for good. I know that a lot of other businesses are struggling. And, you know, to add another 1% payroll tax on top of everything else is just unconscionable.
Well, and what will happen is they will have to increase their prices. And then at that point in time, the consumer only has so much money. So they're going to have to start to make choices on which businesses, you know, the products they buy. They're going to have to certainly get their necessities first, but the consumer will have to make choices on this. It's like a boulder rolling downhill, trying to really it'll hurt businesses.
Yeah, it'll hurt businesses because you know, it'll increase their cost of doing business, but it'll also hurt people. It'll hurt, you know, they talk about families and supporting families. Well, a family, you know, a person that wants to support a family by working in a job, you know, the people that are at the margins will be less likely to get jobs because it will be more expensive to hire them. And there's also a video that I linked in one of my previous blogs by John Stossel, where he talks about how actually these kinds of things create a disincentive to hire women because of these family and medical leave programs. So it's not good
for
business.
And the reason is typically women are more the caretakers. Is that why?
I would think, yeah, that's why. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And, you know, I don't remember which one it was in. Maybe it was the Case Against Family, but which is the previous one on your mm-hmm. website. But, you know, there's definite costs to this family program. And yeah, after my mother died and our family was trying to deal with that and I got laid off from my job, sure, it would have been nice to have some additional income coming in. But I didn't dream that it was the government's role to take money from other people by force and give it to me.
Well, I think also, what does this do from a employee morale standpoint? And once again, you're now getting into kind of that socialist compact or idea of, you know, each according to their ability, each according to their needs. So everybody else, their ability is that they can still get up and go to work, But yet that person, they're not there doing their part of the work. So everybody else is going to have to pick up the slack. But also money is being taken out of their paycheck that they could use for their family to pay for this over here. I see that this could really start to affect employee morale.
Oh, yeah. It'll affect employee morale. And it'll also have adverse impacts on the employer and employee relationship. So now, you know, let's say you have a small business where let's call it a bistro, and the owner, you know, has a key person who's about to go out on maternity leave. They, in this world, you know, they would negotiate, they would talk about it, they'd work something out, you know, especially if this person was that valuable to the business. The business owner is going to do whatever she can to help that person, you know, get through this time and come back to work and be happy. But now, you know, there's several paragraphs in the bill that talk about what employers may and may not do with regard to employees under this family program. And, you know, it just puts more restrictions on employers. It dictates how employers can administer their paid time off programs. And I know a lot of companies actually offer paid family medical leave as a benefit to their employees, mm-hmm. because they do that in order to attract qualified people to work for their companies. And that's how it should be. I have nothing against paid family medical leave. I think it's a great thing when it's offered voluntarily, privately, you know, by employers who wanted to do that to attract talent.
So let's go to break, because I think we're at a spot that we could do that. And then let's come back and continue with this discussion. This is it's 283 that's going to be on the ballot, recommending a strong no on this. And you and I are going to do a voter's guide together on all of the issues.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that's going to, and you know what? We need to get on that, don't we?
we need to strategize on that.
We'll do that after the show. So this is Kim Munson. Rick Turnquest is in studio with me. We will be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of the things that we're doing. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We'd greatly appreciate that. A couple of things. First of all, 4:30 today, be at 401 West 43rd for the kickoff for the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour. And we're going to do a motorcade through Denver. And so be a part of history. It's going to be great. So again, 401 West 43rd. There's information on my website. There's information at the I'm a Trumpster .com website as well. So join us. And also, you just heard something about Scott Watley's show, Sportsman of Colorado. And that reminds me of Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. If you are a sportsman and you need to have a good knife in your toolkit, and Castlegate Knife and Tool has a wide range of knives for the sportsman. They have knives for military personnel, collectors. They're now my go-to place for wedding gifts. You know what? Now that everything's opening up, I have my third wedding. And so it's a great place to get a great gift for like that. So go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com, another new valued partner of the Kim Munson Show. And it's out in Sedalia, family-owned. I mean, those are the kind of businesses we want to make sure that we support. So let's go back. Rick Turnquest, you've done this great op-ed that's at my website. And Zach always does the most amazing visuals, doesn't he?
He does a great job. And like I say, I never send suggestions because I know he's going to come up with something original and cute. And he certainly did this time.
He did as well.
Can I ask a question? I was just looking at that, and I saw it yesterday, too. Okay, the background of that picture is obviously the Addams Family house. And you can't miss the Gov. Who's
Faith Winter. She's the one who's just continues to bring this forward. She's representative, isn't she?
She's a state senator.
Is she senator? Okay.
Well, it's Pugsley and what was her name?
It's Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, Wednesday Adams and Pugsley. So it's the Gov and Faith. Okay.
Yep. And so very creative. And you know what? Rick and I got into this. I always like to say thank you to this team I get to work with, and that's Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, I greatly appreciate you as well. I love hearing from you. I've got some important emails that I've received from listeners that I will be working on this weekend. You know, sometimes things come in and you look at it and it's like, I really need to spend some mental time on this to respond. And then the day gets wild. And so that's on my list of things to do. I'll be back to all of you. So you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Okay, this family leave bill, forced paid family leave, and that's what we don't like is that word forced. As you mentioned in the last segment, if a company wants to do that as a benefit for their employees, more power to them. That is great. But this forced paid family leave is really going to hurt businesses. It's going to hurt people. But, you know, Rick, one of the things that you do is you follow the money. So where is the money coming from to push this onto the people of Colorado?
Well, that's a great question. And one thing I love about our political system in Colorado is that there's every issue committee, every candidate is supposed to file reports with the Secretary of State, and it's on a website called Tracer. And as an accountant, I have the ability to go in and download this data and take a look at it and slice it and dice it. And that's exactly what I did. So there's a issue committee called Colorado Families First.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And the registered agent is a staff member of a very far left organization. And as of the August 3rd Tracer filing, they'd raised about $2.8 million, which is a lot of money. Yeah. And they spent about $2.2 million of it on signature gathering. But of the $2.6 million that came in cash, it was actually $2,600,130. And $130 came from three people in Colorado. The $2.6 million came from a part of the progressive organization. It's a fund called the 1630 Fund, and they've it's very far left. They support all kinds of leftist agendas and goals throughout the country, and they actually had meddled in Colorado politics before when they donated to pass the minimum wage increase in 2016, which was Amendment 70. So this is not a Colorado thing. There's three people in Colorado who contributed $130 to this concept, and the rest of the money is coming from some lefty organization in Washington D.C. And there's a link to look it up on the blog if you're curious to know more. And then I also took a look at where the money was spent. Former Senate President John Morse, who got recalled for his gun control malarkey in 2013. He got a sweet paycheck of $24,000, and even my friends at Progress Now got $7,000 for something. So it's an interesting look at where the money went, where it came from,
What you're mentioning there, this is also a way that big money groups kind of pay off their people for doing what they wanted them to do when they were in the legislature. Sometimes people will get a cushy job, and they have figured out how to take care of their people by doing things like this.
Right. And family, if it passes, there's part of the thing that calls for outreach, and they can contract with third party vendors to do this outreach. Well, who do you think those third party vendors are going to be? It's going to be other parts of other progressive organizations throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written about the progressive infrastructure twice. Once on my blog, to advancefreedom.com. It's called The Progressive Advantage. And then again on your site, it's it's where I talked about by any means necessary, taking a look at the national progressive infrastructure and what they do. And they're all about, they really believe that they know what's right for everybody, and they want to use the force of government to impose their vision on the rest of us. And they will do anything they can to do it. They have dark money groups that that fun, you know, they scream about dark money, but then they have, they're the masters of dark
they
money.
They are.
And they have so many groups that are, they're funneling money into Colorado to support Democratic candidates and to oppose. You know, if you look at the county commissioner races in Douglas County, for example, the two Democratic candidates have received significant amounts of money from out-of-state donors, and the two Republican candidates have received virtually 100% of their. I think one of them got $50 from someone in California, but you know they're raising more money from Douglas County zip codes and from Colorado residents than their opponents are.
Okay, Rick, we talk about asking questions, and this is a tough one. Why? Why are these outside groups coming into Colorado spending so much money? Why are they doing this?
I think it's because they view Colorado as it's a Midwestern state. You know, we used to have a tradition of rugged individualism and you know, kind of libertarian, you know, philosophy. And you know, over the last couple of decades, you know, the demographics of Colorado have been changing. A lot of people have moved here from other liberal states like California and Oregon and wherever. And the state is really changing. And they view Colorado as their inroad. And, you know, right now they have the coasts, right? You know, the two coasts are very, you know, progressive. And the middle of the country is still largely red, but there's a big blue dot in the center of the West, which is Colorado, and they're trying to take Colorado and put all these progressive agenda items in here because they view it as their inroad to the rest of the West, I think.
So they want to export that, and so I think it's so important that people understand that these elections really, really matter. You mentioned the Douglas County race, and you know, I was encouraged. I was very frustrated when this whole COVID-19 thing happened. I could see the danger of shutting down businesses. And these county commissioners that are currently in office, they really went to bat for businesses in Douglas County. And that's why we see that these elections really matter, Rick Turnquist.
Oh, they certainly do. And you know, our current county commissioners have done a great job of navigating the COVID. And, you know, every morning I track the COVID numbers in Colorado and nationally. And Douglas County has the lowest number of cases of all the populous counties in Colorado. You know, Denver has, you know, over 11,000. You know, Arapahoe has, you know, several thousand. El Paso County has several thousand. Jeffco has several. Douglas County has, you know, I think it was the last time I looked, it was a little bit under 2,000 cases. So, you know, we're doing things right in Douglas County, and we have county commissioners who are standing up for limited government and property rights. And their opponents are all in favor of mask mandates and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, the current county commissioners want to withdraw from Tri-County Health because even though the scientific advice was against a mandate, they still wanted to do one. And it was one of the board members who made that happen. And so the county commissioner said, okay, you know what, we're going to form our own health department. Mm-hmm. And just as a side note, I'm curious, why do we need health departments anyway?
Well, and the health departments have really been weaponized against everyday people.
Yeah, and leaving that aside, but so, you know, I fully support Roger and Laura and Abe for what they're doing in Douglas County, and I'd certainly like to see Laura get reelected and George Teal get elected as well.
Because Roger Partridge is term limited, so George Teal is running for his seat. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have them on probably within the next week or so.
Oh, who? George?
Both George and Laura.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because these elections really matter. These district attorney elections
district
really
attorney.
Matter. And you know what I'm recommending, Rick Turnquist, is that people find a candidate and adopt a candidate. People want to know, what can I do? Adopt a candidate. Reach out to them. Say, what can I do to help? And this is one of the things that we can do to make sure that we bring Colorado back to that rugged individualism that is, I think, why people come here. So we only have about a couple of minutes left. So what final things? What's the wrap-up that we want to do on this?
Well, I think that it's really important for people to educate themselves on this whole family and medical leave concept. And after they've done so, I strongly encourage a no vote in November. There's also a related initiative, or another initiative that I think is worthy of a strong yes, and that's 295, which is under our taxpayer bill of rights, Tabor. We have the ability, or the right, or whatever you want to call it, in Colorado to vote on tax increases. Well, they've found a loophole in Tabor that's big enough to sail an aircraft carrier through, and that's by calling government program funding fees or premiums, which is what they're doing with this family thing. So now there's 295, which would say voters have to approve fees or premiums that are going to generate more than $100 million in their first five fiscal years. And that's just an additional strengthening of our taxpayer bill of rights concept. And I strongly encourage a vote of yes on initiative 295.
You and I will probably agree on just about everything, but we're going to have a big conversation about this. Rick Turnquist, I so appreciate you being in studio. And these op-eds that you do are so important. People can get so informed, very informed on this. So I'd recommend that they go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And No More Family is what you have there. Rick Turnquist, it is so great to have you in studio.
Thanks, Kim. It's great to be back.
Feels like you just sat down, So our quote for today is from Herbert Hoover. And he was the 31st president of the United States. He said, "My country owes me nothing. It gave me, as it gives every boy and girl, a chance. It gave me schooling, independence of action, opportunity for service and honor." And that's Herbert Hoover. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.